This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Ben. Let's start with the Kuala Kangsar by-election. It's officially a four-cornered fight between Barisan Nasional, PAS, AMANA and an independent candidate. How do you think this will pan out?
Well, first of all, let's start with the independent. I mean, in our political history, there has not been a lot of affinity among voters for independent candidates unless they are really high-flying individuals. And I think, first and foremost, I think we can discount the individual and he's probably going to get less than 1% of the vote. But the votes for the Barisan, AMANA, as well as PAS, I think that's going to be an interesting one to see because I think this by-election, both in Sungai Besar as well as in Kuala Kangsar, is going to be a bellwether of sorts of how the opposition is going to perform, as well as how Barisan Nasional is going to perform in the coming general election, you know, expected in a couple of years' time. And I think how it's going to pan out, I think going by recent events, you know, we think that Barisan is going to keep its share of the votes from its hardcore supporters in both places, and therefore it should attain at least close to one half of the vote, with the balance to be shared by AMANA and PAS.
All right, let's talk about the bellwether election part in a few minutes. But first off, BN's candidate for the Kuala Kangsar by-election, she's the former widow of the Kuala Kangsar MP, and she's currently undergoing the religious mourning period after the passing of her husband. And as such, she won't be able to physically be there during the campaigning. And even yesterday, she was not present at the nomination centre. Now, because of this mourning period, BN has come out to say that they will use a different tactic, which is campaigning without a candidate being present. Do you think that would be effective?
Well, I think it's going to be effective, partly because, you know, Kuala Kangsar, although it has a sizable urban community, it's still a pretty traditional town where large numbers of the Malay voters, from which UMNO draws its strongest support, are living traditional villages along the Perak River. And I think in those places, people respect the fact that she is a widow, she has just suffered serious loss of her husband and in mourning. And therefore, proxies or her representatives can actually go out, meet the people and explain what her manifesto is or what she intends to perform in terms of service to the community. That's one factor. The second factor is that, you know, today we begin with Ramadan, and during Ramadan, it's always a much more subdued mood within the Muslim Malay community. And therefore, there isn't a lot of campaigning that one can do aside from maybe meet people in markets. And in the evening, you know, a lot of people go to prayers, and there isn't much room for campaigning there either. So I think she will still come into contact with voters, and therefore I don't think the fact that she is in mourning is going to seriously affect her chances as a candidate.
Now, I know this may seem like it's an insensitive question, but is BN trying to play the sympathy card here? Because even a former UMNO leader has come out to say that the move, it's kind of a joke. So what do you think?
I think this is politics. All politics is local, and all politics also try to press on any particular advantage that one side particularly has. And so I think here, Barisan Nasional is aware that this is a seat that they won marginally in the 2013 election. Mm-hmm. And by marginal, I mean they won about 60-odd% of the Malay votes, but then, you know, lost significantly among the non-Malay votes. And therefore, in this particular election, they expect a repeat performance. And therefore, any kind of advantage it brings, which means that I think here, I think they regard that the widow of the former MP to be a viable candidate, partly because she is a professional in her own right. She has performed numerous charitable and community activities in the area. People know her, mm-hmm. and she is more or less a positive personality. And so they want to bank in on that and not be sucked into the infighting within the UMNO Bahagian that's prevalent there.
Right. In other words, you know, use someone who you know, who has ties with the community itself.
Right. And also avoid the infighting within their own political organization, which means that if one person gets elected, the other factions may not come out to support and so on and so forth.
Right, right. Now, let's move on to the Sungai Besar by-election. It's going to be a three-cornered contest between BN, PAS and AMANA. Now, Barisan Nasional, they have branded themselves as the underdog in this by-election for several reasons. Do you think that BN will be the underdog, or will he be able to put up a strong fight?
Well, I think, you know, if one looked at from the perspective of the 2013 general election, certainly BN was to be the underdog. But then I think the back of the opposition is already broken. The opposition has I think, be torn asunder and very difficult to put them back together again. And therefore, I think BN stands a fairly good chance of cruising through this by-election, partly because of several factors. Number one, as in Kuala Kangsar, the base of support that BN enjoys there remains pretty solid. So they can continue to rely about on one half of the voters. The candidate that they have put across, State Assemblyman Budiman, he is very well liked in the area, and he has been known to serve all, you know, regardless of their political affiliation. And I think thirdly, you know, BN continues to have strong media machinery that can continue to push for particular angles in their communications, as well as highlight the project that's going to swing by the area, notably the West Coast Expressway. So all of this, I think, is in BN's favour, while the opposition is split. We can see, I think, in this particular election, you know, how Amanah, you know, intends to perform. They are trying to be the replacement for PAS, and I think that's a very tall order. And I think the big bet or the big observation is going to be how much of the non-ruling party affiliated Malay vote is going to go to Amanah.
Yeah, because it's probably going to be a split vote as well. So let's talk about that. What do you think PAS and Amanah's chances are?
I think it's about the chance of an ice cube in hell. because you know, the opposition as we know it in the late 2013 election, that's all history now. The opposition has made this very peculiar turn where PAS, just in recent weeks, have had their convention, and the PAS president, Abdul Hadi, has brandished this giant craze to cut a cake made out of pulut. And we can remember that every time a Malay politician does that and starts spewing Malay rhetoric, the support from non-Malays to the party begins to evaporate. I think we're going to see that happen in Sungai Besar as well as in Kuala Kangsar. It is important to note that in both of these places, non-Malay voters account for about 30% of the electorate, and they play a dominant role in determining who wins when the Malay vote is split into half. And given that, you know, PAS and Amanah has basically going to have to share the Malay vote as well as the Chinese vote, I think the lion's share of the Chinese vote is going to go to Amanah, and the Malay vote potentially is going to be split three ways, the proportion of which we are not very sure right now.
I love that. I love the whole chance of an ice cube in hell analogy. All right, let's look at these two by-elections as a whole then. A lot of people, like you said, see these two by-elections as a precursor for GE13, kind of a test case. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I think certainly it's a test case, and a lot has happened since 2013. I think first and foremost, when we were at 2013, it was the coming together of all the forces that were opposing Barisan Nasional. And I think Barisan Nasional has definitely picked off its foes one by one and basically either encouraged them or split them or induced them to splinter. And we are seeing that happening in nearly all of the opposition parties. You know, PAS has split into PAS and Amanah. And PKR, I think, you know, is driven by factionalism and so on. We are seeing that. I think what we're going to see, what this election stands for is that what's really driving the parties. And Barisan Nasional really intends to keep the seats. And there's so many such marginal seats in the country. There are 80 marginal parliamentary constituencies across Malaysia. And Sungai Besar and Kuala Kangsar are just two of them. And it means that if Barisan Nasional can win the seats in a situation where the opposition is fragmented, then I think it stands a good chance of retaining power in the 2018 or 2017 general election. What does it mean for PAS? I think for PAS, these couple of seats are seats that they've never won since Independence Day. So I think for them is to actually ensure that Amanah doesn't win. So for PAS, I think victory conditions is set with Amanah not attaining more votes than them. And I think that would be enough to call it a day for that party. And they are now really inward-looking. For Amanah, it's a battle for survival and relevance. If they are able to pull to second place, then they can show their supporters and allies alike that they are a viable political party, that they can actually be a viable component in the Pakatan Harapan in moving into GE14.
Yeah, because Khalid Samad, the Parti Amanah MP for Shah Alam, he came on BFM and he said that for Amanah to claim that it has a future or a following, it needs to get at least 40% of the votes in Sungai Besar and 30% of the votes in Kuala Kangsar. Do you think that would be feasible?
Well, I think it's a bit tough, largely because, you know, voters are not automatons. Voters are rational beings, although when they make choices based partly on emotion. I think, you know, a lot of voters, particularly here in Selangor, where Sungai Besar is situated, a lot of people are actually opposition supporters, because in Selangor, more than 50%, I think close to 60% of the electorate here in Selangor voted for an opposition party. So a lot of them actually want to see a unified opposition and want to see a viable two-party system emerge in the country. But given that, that's no longer possible because the opposition has fragmented, I think a lot of the mood is going to become dissipated. So we expect voter turnout to come down significantly, maybe 15 to 20% less. And therefore, that's going to degrade the chances of parties like Amanah to try and get 40% of the popular vote in such a seat. But 40% means that they need to get all of the Chinese vote as well as nearly 15% of the Malay vote, you know. So that's quite a tall order.
You know, will cost of living issues, GST or 1MDB play a part in voters deciding who to vote for in these two by-elections?
Certainly, yes. I mean, if you talk to analysts who are looking at things very closely to the ground, many people will actually come up and say, well, you know, 1MDB is not such a big deal and cost of living is already priced in. Yes, it's already priced in. I think if you look at sentiments overall related to how voters assess the current situation, their unhappiness about the slowness in the economy, about cost of living that's not matched by rising wages and incomes, I think all of that has been priced in. So I think a couple of things you expect to see. You expect to see that the Barisan share of the Malay vote actually to drop. But I think big question mark is whether the Malay vote goes to Amanah or goes to PAS, and likely going to PAS, partly because PAS is an older party, as a brand more recognized, is talking about Islam, so it's a non-controversial subject as far as Malays go. And I think that's what it is. So all these issues like 1MDB, cost of living, it will be a factor, but it will be in the background. It wouldn't be something in the kind of urgent chatter of people that's really firing them up. But this already would have caused maybe, you know, 5-6% discount in the voter support for the ruling party.
And what about PAS pushing for the private member bill, which seeks to amend the Sharia Court Criminal Jurisdiction Act? Do you think that will have an effect on votes, either for or against?
Well, I think a lot of lawmakers and maybe strategists in PAS feel that the push for the that particular strengthening of Sharia bill, I think that's going to be a feather in their cap, something that would give them advantage leading up to the poll. But my sense is that it's probably not. The reason is because a lot of people, you know, Muslim voters in Malaysia, they are not so fired up about issues like hudud. Even though most people would by now say that they have no objections to hudud, it's not something that they're clamoring for. Their issues are immediate. They need jobs. They have incomes that are to stretch, to save for a rainy day, things like that. And hudud doesn't put food on the table. And number two, you know, there are institutional issues that would remain there even if hudud is there. So hudud, in a sense, is going to be like catnip for fundamentalists, so they will be very excited about it, but it wouldn't be really attractive for swing voters who are looking for better leadership, clean government, better economic programs or strategies put forth by competing parties. So hudud in itself is not going to be a strong advantage for PAS, because it's something that they're known for, equivalent to what, you know, UMNO would be saying about Malay rights. They're known for that. So them saying more about Malay rights and passing more about hudud is not going to add more votes to the table, but more people are interested to see the practical solutions that they may have on offer for the everyday problems that people in Sungai Besar, Kuala Kangsar possess.
And the Election Commission, they expect 75% of the voters, 75% of voters will cast their ballots in both by-elections. What are your thoughts on voter turnout?
I think that's quite an optimistic estimate, you know, partly because, you know, these two elections are going to be held 2 weeks from Hari Raya, and they are not particularly near any major urban populations. Both Kuala Kangsar and Sungai Besar, they are kind of an aging population base where a lot of the younger people who are of working adult age are not actually living in the constituency. So most of them are working either in Ipoh, Penang or the Klang Valley. And it's going to be held 2 weeks prior to Hari Raya in a fasting month. And given that these two by-elections not likely going to change the political equation in the country and the dearth of any pressing national sensational issues, I think that may not going to, it's not going to push a lot of young voters to come back to vote. So my sense is that it's going to be perhaps, you know, possible 75%, but maybe won't be surprised if it's lower.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.